Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, June 19th. Welcome back. I am your friendly neighborhood host, Scott Fullerton. Appreciate you tuning in today. We had a fantastic show yesterday. I hope you're able to listen to, if not, catch the podcast. We talked to Christina Wisemore. She's one of the two founders of the Backlot Bash in Chicago. It is one of the biggest and most prestigious and well-attended lesbian pride events in the country. It's in its 15th anniversary this weekend, and we had a fantastic chat. So sure to go back to the archives and look that up. Today, we have another fantastic show for you in just a couple of minutes. I'll be talking to actor, writer, and producer Colby Ryan. He has a new web series just came out last month called Gross Misconduct, which I absolutely love. We were supposed to have a special surprise guest for the first hour, but that person did not have a chance to call in, so they're going to call me today after the show. We're going to pre-tape it. I'm going to play it next week, but it's still going to be a surprise. It's a pretty big name, so we'll have that in just a little bit. But thank you so much to Colby for calling in a little earlier today. He was going to be our second guest. Appreciate him calling in now. He'll be on in just a few minutes. Next week on the show, we got a couple of great shows for you. On Monday, another web series star from the series Bothered, we have Seth Daniels on. And also my buddy, my favorite, Jay Knight from Jay Knight Music. He has a couple of new singles he's premiered. He's got one of the best EDM minds in music right now, and I'm so excited for him. So Seth and Jay will be here on Monday, and on Tuesday, I got quite a big show for you. I have one of my favorite actors, Ryan Karnes. You might remember him from Eating Out and Desperate Housewives and so many more. He played on General Hospital for so long as Bobby's child. And, oh, my goodness, been on so many great things. He's going to be on along with Scotty Dynamo. He is a Canadian YouTube star and singer. So we have a busy weekend. So I don't know how I'm going to get my special guest in. I'm going to have to find a way to do that. But anyway, great show today. Great show next week. What do we have going on this weekend? In addition to Chicago Pride going on and Backlot Bash there, it's New York City Pride this weekend. So they have a big 3 days worth of events in New York City. If I could make it into town, I'm going on another event I'll tell you about in a second. If I was going into town, you know, I have the big foodie inside me. There's going to be a big event at the James Beard House. They're having a house party there on Friday. Some of my favorites in the culinary people will be there. Chef Art Smith, who was going to be on the show, and we're rescheduling him for, I believe, in the next 2 weeks, is going to be there. Arnold Mint, who also is alias as Susie Wong, who was a Miss Gay American for 2017, and he was a Food Network star, is going to be there. And Zach Young of Craveable Hospitality Group, he's also a judge on so many of the great baking and chocolate shows on Food Network. It's going to be a great night there Friday night at the James Beard House. Tickets are still available. You can look it up online. But I will not be going this Friday because I will be in Columbus again. I'm going to be taking good old Mama Linda to see our buddy Del Shores this Thursday night at Evolution Theater Company in Columbus. Del's doing his one-person play, Six Characters in Search of a Play. It's a fantastic show. He's been doing it all over the country, to sold-out arenas from San Francisco to Charlotte. He's in the middle of a four-day run, four shows back-to-back this week. I don't know how he does it. He's got more energy than the Energizer Bunny. He'll be in, I think, Indianapolis on Wednesday. He's coming here to Columbus on Thursday. He goes back to Cincinnati on Friday. Then he has someone else on Saturday he's going to. So Mom and I are looking forward to seeing his show. It's always a great time when Del comes to town. Get a chance to visit my buddy in person for a while. So I'll be talking to him while he's in town. So that's this Thursday. And then also, I'm only telling people, I don't think I'm going to do it online. I think I'm only going to tell people on the radio show. We'll see. But this Thursday, while I'm in Columbus, I'm going to have a special sneak peek of the new Left of Straight Show video option. If you haven't heard yet, the Left of Straight Show in September is going to be streaming live on video, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, at least one of those, then we will send it out to the other ones afterwards. But we are going to take the show live directly from Columbus and my media partner there in True FM Online. I'm going to be going to their studios every Monday and do the show from there live. They're going to video it for me and run all the boards for me and everything. I'll spend the night Monday and come back Tuesday and do the Tuesday show. And then I'll be coming home Tuesday night, driving back here to Youngstown area. So it's going to be a busy Monday, Tuesday, but I'm so excited to have video to the Left of Straight Show. We're going to be able to play clips from YouTube videos like the guests we have on today. We're going to be able to play songs. We're going to have special in-studio guests and people that are visiting Columbus and different Columbus businesses, because Columbus is such a great LGBT city, if you do not know that. And we're going to have some special Skype visits from a lot of our celebrities. So it's going to be a fun thing. But this Thursday, while I'm in Columbus and see Dell, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we're going to do a test run, a test interview. We're going to be live on Facebook for sure. And if it changes to be Instagram or YouTube, I will shout that out to everybody. I'm just telling you radio listeners right now to listen to the test, because I don't want 8,000 people. As I've said, I have the face for radio, but I'm becoming a little more confident with this weight loss, and I'm excited to change this in September. So that is going to be happening very, very soon here. But Thursday, I hope you'll tune in. Check the Left of Straight Show page for a special video preview this Thursday at 2:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. So that is happening. So save room for that. Speaking of media sponsors, besides True FM Online in Columbus, it simulcasts my show every week. I also want to give a big shout out to Tony Guadagnino, of course. Tony does social media posting for me when needed, has his own social media company. You can look him up at tonyguad.com. That's www.tonyguad.com. tonyguad.com. And, of course, our great friend over in California, Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio. He is on every Tuesday night, like it is tonight, just a couple hours after my show on UBN Radio. So listen to On the Rocks on the air. Thanks to them for being media sponsors. And if you're not following me on social media, please do on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. And on Facebook, the Left of Straight Show is our page. You can like there and follow. And you can follow me personally or friend me personally at Scott Fullerton on Facebook. I'm always looking for new friends on there. So we have that going on. So lots of stuff to talk about. Of course, we have the big gay road trip. I'm going to be mentioning this every week until we get going. I am going to be going on a cross-country trek from beautiful downtown Youngstown, Ohio, to Palm Springs, California. Be gone the entire month of August. I'm going to leave here and go to Palm Springs and do live shows as an artist in residence at the Indulge Resort in Palm Springs, California, every Monday and Tuesday from August 5th through the 28th. We're going to be having live guests coming in from LA and Palm Springs. I got some great people responding to it right now. We got some great guests for you. While I'm there, I'm going to be hosting happy hour parties after the show every Monday and Tuesday just for resort guests there. We're going to have special giveaways from our talent that's coming in to visit. It's going to be a good time had by all. You can read all about it on the website, www.leftofstraight.com. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8.com. Look under Big Gay Road Trip. And you can also look under Pride Bracelets on the website to help cover the cost of driving back and forth and meals and everything while I'm there. I have these amazing marriage equality Pride Bracelets that I'm selling. Only $20. It includes shipping. You can go to the website and find them. They're a great rainbow-colored silicone with a clasp on it, and it celebrates marriage equality by putting the date of the Supreme Court decision and love is love embossed in the clasp. Like I said, only $20, and it includes free shipping, and that'll help pay for my big gay road trip across country. And look for the hashtag Big Gay Road Trip on all the social media. So let's get to it, guys. I think we have Colby on the line. We're going to take a quick break here so I can get him situated into the studio. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the writer, producer, and star of Gross Misconduct, Mr. Colby Ryan. You're listening to Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
All righty, guys and gals, we are back. My guest today is an actor, writer, producer who grew up not too far from here in Ohio and has been living his acting dream since he was in the fifth grade. From Pennsylvania to New York City, he worked behind the scenes in the world of soap operas and even took a detour in the world of fashion. He spent many years in talent management and recruitment for Calvin Klein. He's returned to his love of acting in some New York plays, as well as a couple movies that are in production, and he's created this amazing new work, the very funny Gross Misconduct web series. He lead writes, co-produces, stars in it, and I can't wait to talk to him all about it. Please welcome to the show for the very first time, Mr. Colby Ryan. Hello there. How are we doing, Colby?
Hello there. I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing amazing. Thank you for calling in. How's everything in beautiful downtown New York City today?
My pleasure. I'm calling from Manhattan, actually uptown Manhattan, which is where I live. It's a little warm here, but we're cool, staying in the AC, so it's all good.
There you go. I have to tease my listeners all the time because in Ohio, you know, it gets hot and muggy too, even Pennsylvania, the whole East Coast here. And
I freeze
to death on show days because I'm a home health care for my mom, so I live with my mom. She lives upstairs, and we have a fully furnished basement. That's my basement apartment downstairs. But the air conditioning control is upstairs, and she likes to keep it nice and cool, which means I freeze my little ass off downstairs. So I'm under a blanket every day doing the show. It's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
So I am right now shivering under my blanket, but it is 91 degrees and humid outside.
Yeah. It's similar here.
I'll go out and warm up on the break here. Well, welcome
right.
to the show, man. Before we get started, I have
Thanks.
Two burning questions for you. First off, with a name like Colby Ryan, which I love, you basically only had two choices, an actor in film and television or in porn. Is that your real name? Tell me Colby Ryan there. I love the name.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the best name in show business.
Thank you. I'm on the spot. The truth is, no, it is not my birth name. However, it is my legal name. And I am not at the point where I'm revealing my name, but I'll tell you what, when I do my People magazine interview, I will absolutely reveal what my real name is.
I will be on the subscription desk waiting for that. Very good. Second question,
yes.
And we'll get to the job in a little more detail later, but I have to know, and I don't have any idea how old you are, but are you responsible for Marky Mark in his underwear and that fantastic ass of his in the billboards? That's all I got to know.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm definitely not that old to have been responsible for that. No, that was way before I was at Calvin. Yeah, sorry, I've never met Mark Wahlberg.
I'm an old guy. I'm an old man. The 40s, you know, I'm in my 40s. It's like, I remember that ass. I remember Calvin Klein. It's like, thank you, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Sure.
Right, those are my
yes.
two burning questions. I had to get
okay.
those off my chest here. Let's start with growing up. Now, start from the beginning. Talk to me about growing up in Lancaster. The only thing I really know about it is Jonathan Groff is from there, so I'm just assuming there's a mystical spring that has great gay actors drink from it or something. But talk about Lancaster a bit.
Well, I wish I had met Jonathan Groff. He is younger than I am. I definitely moved through the theater community back in Lancaster prior to Jonathan being there, but it's been so awesome to see his success. It's just amazing. I'm actually from a part of Lancaster, a small part called Landisville, which is it's quite a small burb, and it's very conservative kind of background with lots of farm country there. I'm not from a farm, but both of my parents actually grew up on farms. And so it's very completely different from New York City and not a place that I could picture myself being in the long term. But it's a nice place to raise a family. And it's only 3 hours from here, actually, if you drive or take the train. And it was, I had a nice, you know, quality upbringing there. So it was a good experience overall. I certainly still have friends there and I do go visit from time to time.
Nice. And I saw that you started acting like in fifth grade there. Tell me about that. And did that inspire you to do more in the theater, or were you always kind of interested in entertainment?
Well, that was my first, the first exposure that I think I had was there. We did some kind of scene from The Wizard of Oz when I was in grade school, and I was I was the Tin Man, so I got to sing If I Only Had a Brain. No, Heart. That's it. Heart.
Heart.
So I was wearing all this metallic paint.
Wait a second. Tin Man, Lion. Okay, Heart. There we go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my first real exposure. But then after that, I decided to adapt this, and I have no idea why I did this other than I was pursuing a girl that was also in the fifth grade with me named Stephanie. And I thought, well, if I write this play and I'm part of the casting process, maybe I can give Stephanie the lead role and then maybe she'll like me. So that's what I recall my first thought being. And so I took this book called The Great Gilly Hopkins by Katherine Patterson, which was a popular children's book, still is, I think. And I just took all the quotes from the book and wrote them down, and that was the script. Oh, that's something that someone said. Okay, well, then that's what the script's going to be. And the teachers were nice enough to allow me to cast people from my grade. I was not in it. I didn't perform in it. I just kind of sat back and watched it all happen. But that was one of my first real exposures to theater. But it wasn't until I was in high school that I really started to think, hey, this is not just something I'm a fan of, but I think this is a life that I want to be a part of. And they had recently added a drama department in my high school, which had never existed before, like a drama class.
Oh, nice.
And I was in the inaugural class of the drama students. So that was really, really cool. This is Hemfield High School is the name of my high school. And that was just a great experience for me. And from there, I got cast in some of the musicals that we did and some of the plays that we did, took a couple of trips to New York to see shows in New York, and totally fell in love with it and decided as soon as I can, I'm going to move there.
Very, very cool. I love that. And then talk about New York City. You said you end up moving there and you start off behind the scenes in soaps on, what was it? As the World Turns, right? How was
yeah,
that?
Yeah. It was As the World Turns, which was not a show that I really had familiarity with, but I was doing a play. I was actually helping a stage manage a play, and one of the actors mentioned that he needed that they were looking for interns at As the World Turns, people to work in the production office. And so I went in and interviewed, and it was a great experience because I had never seen what it was like to work in a TV studio before. And, you know, I just did helpful things like order lunch for the people that were in the control booths and make a million copies of the script. So I would spend a whole day in the copy room just color coding things. And every time they made a revision to the script, I would go in and redo it. But it was great just to be a part of that whole environment and to see how it all came together. And soaps, it's amazing how quickly they put things together. You know, they shoot an episode a day.
Oh, man, those actors work. They go through pages and pages of dialogue a day, don't they? I mean, it's just crazy.
Pages and pages and last-minute revisions, and you just have to pick it up immediately and go and do it because you can't leave for the day until you've shot it. Yeah, and they basically do it 52 weeks a year. So hat's off
crazy.
To them. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing that they have the quality that they have.
And I was an ABC guy back then. I was never watched that soap either. But I do remember because they had that Luke and Noah storyline. Was, I think, the very first gay couple kiss back in 2007. So that was kind of interesting at the time.
I was
a little older. And I remember that had, like, at the time, YouTube was really new back in 2007. And it had, like, 2 million hits, which was, like, the busiest YouTube had been forever. Now that's nothing on YouTube. But it's like 2 million hits for the gay storyline there. So I thought that was pretty impressive that they did it. I mean, Ryan Phillippe was like the first gay teen I ever saw on a soap on One Life to Live. But I kind of took note of that Luca Noah thing. Ryan Felipe, he's my god. I love Ryan Felipe.
Is he your god? He looks pretty amazing these days.
He is fantastic. Do you watch Shooter? I forget what network it's on, but he is the lead, and I follow him on Instagram, and it's just, I've always loved his work. I think he's a great actor all the way back from the day, and then and him and Reese Witherspoon do not age, and they have these gorgeous children that are now like in like high school or something. They were together for quite a while way back in the day, and it's just a beautiful family. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. No, I haven't seen his show. I'll have
and then
to check
it out. You need to check out Shooter. He's very good on it. But talk about this kind of left turn here into fashion. What brought Calvin Klein along? You were there for quite a while, and that's a pretty heavy responsibility. It sounds like what you're working with all the talent, and you're working with all of what exactly did you do there for Calvin Klein?
Well, my last position there was as a human resources director, and the way it all happened is when I was temping, when I was, you know, trying to make money on the side while I was auditioning, I ended up with a temp job at the Museum of Modern Art, another major institution in New York. And that is where I really just fell into HR and how it all works. I had no intention of staying there, but I did. I stayed there for years, and the head of the human resources department at MoMA actually moved over to Calvin Klein, and at a time when I decided I wanted to go back into it because I needed money, I went to her for career advice and ended up there. So I just kind of worked my way up, and a lot of what I did involved recruitment. And then I got involved in employee relations and organizational structure, and I liked it, and it was something that I could do well. And so that was always the struggle for me was, you know, you often hear about actors and artists, any kind of entertainer. If there's anything else you can do other than this, you should do that, because this is a really difficult road. And that always stuck with me. You know, I have a very pragmatic background, conservative background, that it's kind of, you know, two different sides of my brain that have always competed with each other. And so for many years, the rational, practical side won out. And I thought, well, if I advance far enough in HR to achieve a certain level, a certain title, a certain salary, I will be happy and life will be grand. And I won't need to think about the acting thing anymore. Unfortunately, after I had achieved that level and I was director of HR, I realized I was completely wrong and needed to get back to my heart, to what I love. Because there's no way I was going to spend the rest of my life not pursuing what I really love.
Nice. And that's got to be a machine, too. I mean, Calvin Klein, you think of a clothing line and the designer, but that's got to be a huge machine behind the scenes as well, I can imagine, especially when you have to do HR for it all.
Oh, absolutely. And I worked in the corporate office, but we also had a connection to the collection store. I mean, I was recruiting for people anywhere from facilities to finance to retail to advertising, public relations, visual, you know, the gamut, and working with employees from all those different areas. It was a huge responsibility, and the company has been just amazing to me. And so it's a great experience, and I wouldn't give it up for anything. It was just something that I knew I didn't want to do for the rest of my life.
Of course. Fantastic. That's awesome. And so then, like you said, you get this pullback for your love of acting, and Obie award-winning playwright, Harry Condoleon there. Those are a couple of nice plays you got to start back into. And tell me about how those opportunities came up.
Well, through an audition, I met with Michael Levine, who has a production company, Or Else Productions. And I went on an audition, and it was one of the first auditions that I went on after I had decided to leave Calvin Klein and go back to my acting career. And I mean, I retain my guild status. I've always been in SAG and SAG-AFTRA and in Actors Equity, and I was able to maintain those over the years. Gotcha. And so that just meant that I could jump back in and audition for professional gigs if I wanted to. So that was my introduction
That's
to
awesome.
A couple of plays from Harry Condoleon. Yeah, Michael Levine was really interested in doing a lot of his plays, and so I was cast as in two lead roles in two of the plays that he did, and that really kind of got my feet wet again after having been away from the stage for a really long time.
Fantastic. Well, I want to take a quick break. We're about halfway through the show already. I can't believe how fast time's going here. But when we come back, we're going to talk all about this amazing web series that you were head writer with, you co-wrote, co-producer, and play the lead in. This is Gross Misconduct. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of seconds, guys. We'll be back right after the break. You're listening to the Left to Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Alrighty, guys, we are back. I am here talking with writer, actor, producer, Mr. Colby Ryan. You put this great web series together, Gross Misconduct, with one of the co-stars, Ann Schroeder. Tell me about how you two met and how this project came about.
Sure, happy to. Ann and I met when we were taking a class, and this was back in 2016. So this whole process has really taken 2 years, and we also were in class with Steve Barkman, who plays Brian in the series, and we just started socializing a bit after class and hanging out, and creating your own content is something that many actors have been thinking about and have been doing over the last several years, and and we said, why don't we give it a shot? Why don't we try to create something and just see what we can do. And, you know, our goal was to just to work and create characters that we would play well, that were well within our wheelhouse, that would hopefully impress agents and casting directors if they would see what we were doing. And it just kind of blossomed from there. And Anne and I started meeting and started coming up with some concepts and ideas. And here we are. It's amazing. So we actually became friends after we were already writing partners.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that. That is awesome. And the show itself, Gross Misconduct, Gross is the last name of your character. Give us a little feel for the setting of the show and what it's about.
The setting is a human resources department. And now, of course, everyone understands why we came up with human resources department because of my background. The original idea.
There you go.
Well, they say write what you know. So, okay, I'll write what I know. It's a 6-part digital series. It's on YouTube, and it depicts an eccentric HR team as they navigate personal and professional struggles under the leadership of their director, who's a very high maintenance fellow named Mitch Gross, played by me. And one of the more notable things for us is that there are 4 lead characters, and 2 of the 4 lead characters are from the LGBT community. And we felt that that was important, obviously, for me as a gay man and as a gay actor. I wanted to play a character that would contribute positively to representations on screen in the community. And then the other character, who's also a lead, is a transgender actress named Puya Moseni, who plays Alicia in the series.
And it's so great to have that visibility. And like you said, especially web series have become so popular. I've become the go-to radio guy for web series. I probably have 20 different web series I've had on the show over the last 4 years, because it really is so tough anymore for actors in general, because you have all these movie stars going to television now, so that ekes you out a bit. And creating your own content really works, and especially for the LGBT, to make sure we have some great quality content. I think web series is the way to go. I have seen some fantastic ones, and this is among some of the best I've seen. It's fantastic. And like you said, I like seeing lead characters like this. So talk about the idea for the characters. I mean, you're a little sex obsessed. Let's talk about Mitch for a second. Maybe a little sex obsessed. I don't know if it's,
come on.
It's not. When you have an opening scene that you have of your picture on your computer, yeah, I kind of will go that. I'll go there. But talk about your idea for your character. How did you flesh him out, so to speak?
Yeah, so to speak. Well, initially, when I was thinking of creating Mitch and a character that I wanted to play, I was reflecting on how I would want to be seen, not in terms of saying, oh, that character is who Colby is, but in terms of what I've had success with and what I think I do well and what others seem to think I do well because they cast me that way. And I tend to be cast as a jerk, a highly educated jerk more often than not. And so I thought, well, let's go with that. And I liked the idea of having someone be the head of the HR department, where the whole idea is these are people who are to set the bar for the other employees and how on proper workplace behavior, and someone who can just come in and solve any problems that happen. To have that person be completely incompetent at that task, I thought there was a lot of humor potentially in that kind of a setup. So
that's
how we started. And I don't think of Mitch as a villain. I think he's just very self-centered, almost naively.
Right.
So
that's what I would say.
yeah. And it's not that he doesn't care about people. He just has, sometimes his empathy doesn't kick in and he needs to be reminded that he's being thoughtless.
Right. And then Anne's character, Sarah, there's a few lines that just knocked out of the park. But one of my favorite lines, she used to be a bartender in a dominatrix bar in East Village. Describe the Sarah character for me. I love it.
Well, the Sarah character, obviously there's a little bit more there than you initially think. Sarah seems to be this very mild-mannered kind of people pleaser. But what's interesting as the series progresses is, as you see, she really is steering the ship. She's the one who, I would say, of the 4 of them, who least gets caught up in drama and just pushes through. And so she makes sure that Mitch is where he needs to be, doing what he needs to do. But she does have this interesting background, and we may not have learned everything about her background at this point.
But certainly,
season one,
intrigue.
Yeah, we did get a little taste of the fact that back in the day, she was a bartender at a dominatrix club. And so she has certain ways of dealing with people when they get out of control that you wouldn't expect.
I love it. And then Puya's character, Alicia, very strong-willed, very strong, probably the strongest of the bunch as far as her work ethic and things like that. Describe her character to everybody.
She's such a class act, and it's funny. What I have to say about that is when, you know, we were deciding what we wanted in terms of our LGBT cast, and the decision was made that the Alicia character, this character absolutely could be a transgender woman, but I wanted to make sure that it was the right actress that we got to play the role, and only if we found someone who really fit what we had in mind for Alicia. And I did my research. Anne actually suggested Puya as someone that she had heard of. And once I saw what she was capable of by just looking at some of the stuff she had online, I was so impressed, and she was exactly what I wanted. You know, Alicia is just, she's a total class act. She's very confident. She knows what she wants. But she clearly has vulnerabilities that we find out about towards the end of the series, as everybody does. She's just a three-dimensional character that I think everyone will really embrace. And what I love most about it, and I think what Puya would say she loves most about her character, is that her being trans is really a minor part in the grand scheme of the series in terms of what goes on throughout the series. You know, she's not there just to talk about her experience. She's already very comfortable with her identity. And there's a lot more going on than just that.
Exactly. And like I said, I think it's such a great character. She plays it so well. I think it is so important in today's day and age that we do cast trans actors as trans people. A good friend of the show, Scott Turner Schofield, was one of the first openly trans persons on Bold and the Beautiful back in the day. He's a very good friend of the show, and he advocates for that fiercely, having trans actors play trans on TV instead of our cisgendered compatriots there. And I think it just shows how strong the character is. And like you said, it makes the gender non-issue. So that was fantastically written, my friend. Love that.
Thank you.
And then we have good old Steve playing Brian, who is probably the comic relief of it. Our good old Amish boy. So much fun to see him. Tell me how that character developed. I love that.
Well, I have to say, when it comes to the four lead characters, of course, Anne and I had to split the responsibility of writing. You know, we each wrote maybe primarily an episode here, an episode there. We kind of divided the workload as best we could. And the way, obviously, we wrote for our own characters. So I wrote Mitch, she wrote Sarah. And then she ended up focusing on Brian, and I focused on Alicia. And even though Lancaster County, where I'm from, is a place where you do have a large Amish community, has nothing to do with me, the fact that Brian is Amish. That was totally Sarah's idea, or I'm sorry, it was totally Anne's idea to set that up. And there was something about Steve, he's not like Brian, but there was just something about him and kind of a an innocent twinkle in his eye that if you met him in person, you wouldn't necessarily think of it that way, but it reads that way on screen. And he just seemed like a great character to bring out a fun side of Steve. And we thought it would be so funny to take the whole issue of Rumspringa when, you know, young Amish boys and girls have a huge decision to make about whether or not they want to remain Amish and be part of that community, to take a 35-year-old man who has never done that. And somehow his parents allowed him to stay on the farm where he's hanging out with his chickens, to take that person and put him in the midst of this series. And Henrietta, the chicken, is also a creation of Anne's, and she really drove that whole story. And we just love the idea of taking something that it turns out to be one of the more absurd aspects of the series, but that still hasn't been resolved either. And we think it's just, it's fun the way we could go from a comedy scene to a dramatic scene to a scene with a chicken. And we somehow think it all works together. It all works together.
It's fantastic. The backstory was an amazing story with his parents. It was so funny. And of course, as you say, the chicken is, the chicken can spell. I'm so impressed with this chicken. I don't even know.
She's a smart chicken.
A smart chicken, damn it. Oh, I love that. So good. I love the writing. I love the different references. I like the Forgetting Sarah Marshall reference. One of my favorite things in it. I love people use pop culture in it. I think that was a lot of fun. The only Fugglies need to prove they're qualified. I thought that was a great line. You have some great lines in this. I just think it's funny. Just finished showing the Beanbags. Who's ready for a game of cornhole? Being from Ohio, got died on that one. You don't understand.
I didn't even know what that was. I have to say, I did not know what. I mean, I know another definition, but I did not know what the game of cornhole was, and that had to be explained to me. I cannot take credit. Yes.
I was born and raised in Southern California, and I've been banished here to Northeast Ohio for the last 15, 16 years now. And when they first said, just go out and play cornhole, and it was one of my male friends that didn't know I was gay, recommended it, I was a little confused, to put it mildly. So, very
that's so
funny
great.
Reference. Oh my gosh,
we knew it would be
great.
Super innocent coming out of Brian's mouth, though. There was no doubt we would know that he didn't mean the other definition.
Gosh. And then we have Bad Marco near the end here. Alicia's fiance. That was a hard episode. That was a hard episode there.
Yeah.
Alicia was wronged. And it seems that you guys have a little backstory there. Don't want to give too much away, but that was an interesting twist.
Yeah. And it was interesting to cast that role. And Nathan Spiteri, who plays Marco, he just knocked it out of the park when he auditioned. And there was a certain intensity that he brought to it, and a duality that we wanted to see. I mean, we think of Marco as he turns out to be this kind of mystery character. And we also wanted to be we wanted to make sure that Alicia behaved in a way in this situation that was true to her character, and that she remained completely, you know, professional, and that you can understand where she was coming from, and that it was a relatable scene, the way everything shakes down. And yeah, because it could have gone a whole different way, I think, the way that sometimes those scenarios do. And the way she held her composure, I thought was important to us to show this character behaving that way.
It was very well written. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, it was a good plot twist, but it was a very well thought out scene. I really enjoyed it. Then comes to the cliffhanger, the final episode of the six. And you have a lot of room for growth here. I mean, so many things happening. We find out at the end, we see the full extent of the chicken's madness. We see that Mitch has a secret life we know nothing about. I mean, that had to be kind of fun to write.
Oh, it was. It was. It was a lot of fun to write. And what we tried to be aware of is we didn't want to make it too soapy. You know, we wanted to make sure that it remained in the same comic vein that we had going. And even though we do dip into drama there with Alicia and Mitch for a few moments, we wanted to make sure that we bring the viewer out of that pretty quickly, because it is a comedy. We want it to be a comedy, but I think comedy is often richer if you can take it to some of those darker places and then come out on the other side. And parts of what happens at the end, where the viewer can just only imagine what is going on next, but certainly the things that Mitch has been through prior to when we were first introduced to him, there's some deep, dark stuff going on there as well that would help to explain some of the way he acts with other people. So those are stories yet to be told, and we can't wait to tell them.
Well, it was a very well-rounded first season. I really did enjoy it. We had a good beginning, middle, and concluded with lots of unanswered questions. I hope you're writing season two now. Are you and Anne discussing going on to a season two?
We are. We have a solid skeleton, I would say. We have a good framework and lots of ideas of what we want to do. And of course that will morph over time, and we're very curious to see what the feedback is from season one, the characters that people most relate to, the ones that you want to see more of, that type of thing. I'm sure will help us to be guided on where we want to focus season two, but we already have a strong sense of where we want to go.
Very cool. And so many web series, of course, these are projects for the actors, but you are professional. You're actors, writers, producers. So there's always money that needs behind this. You have to film it. You have to edit it. You have to pay the actors.
Yeah.
How do you go about doing that? Do you look at crowdfunding, or are you talking to streaming such as Hulu's and Funny or Die's, or what are your guys' plans for helping to fund this second season, and how can fans help out? What can they do to help make it a reality for you?
Well, thank you for asking that. What we did, and I'm glad that you brought this up, with the first season, we did not do crowdfunding. We chose to not do crowdfunding this time for a number of reasons. But one thing that was extremely helpful is Ann Schroeder's production company, Not So Artful Productions, is responsible for funding this project and for funding the vast majority of this project. And so I can't, in addition to her being my partner in every way possible on Gross Misconduct, I mean, the whole thing just would not have happened had it not been for Anne and her company. So,
that's great.
So that was huge for us. And we may decide to do crowdfunding for season two. We haven't really discussed that yet in terms of distribution. Of course, we would love it if Hulu or Amazon or Netflix or someone would take interest. What I would really love personally is if someone said, you know, you have these 5 to 7 minute episodes, you could probably flesh them out into a full length 20, 30 minute episode, which I believe is true. Would love to do that.
Right.
And let's see if we can turn this into more of a regular series and you know, shoot it like that, and it would be carried, distributed by one of these streaming services. That would be amazing. So we're at the beginning of stages. You know, we just released it a month ago on YouTube, and we will certainly consider other platforms and other distributors that may want to become involved, and take it from there. We just want to make sure that we're showcasing Gross Misconduct in the best way possible.
Exactly. Well, congratulations on it. I think it definitely deserves a season two. It's so much fun to watch. Give everyone the website for it and where they can follow it on social media. You can find it on YouTube, but I think the website's the best place so they can keep following as things progress. So give that in your
yes.
in your social media as well.
Sure. The official website for Gross Misconduct is grossmisconduct.com. And so that's gross, spelled with an E at the end, GROSSE, misconduct.com. And then if you do search for it through YouTube, it's also, if you type in Gross Misconduct, you will come to our YouTube page, and you'll be able to, you can become a subscriber there and follow along as well.
Super duper.
And, also,
and what is happening? Oops, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say we have a Facebook page for Gross Misconduct. Super easy to find if you just type in the title. On Twitter, you could follow us at it's Gross Misconduct, but in this case, it's spelled, because of their limitations on the number of letters you can have, we took the U out of misconduct. but that's on Twitter. And then Instagram is just Gross Misconduct, spelled the way it normally is.
Fantastic. And if people are interested in seeing a little bit of Colby Ryan acting, you got a couple of projects coming up. Talk about those briefly, and where can they follow you on social media?
Well, with regard to social media, we'll start there. You can certainly follow me on ColbyRyan.com. That is my that's my website. And you can also follow me at Twitter and Instagram at Colby Ryan Actor. And in terms of the other projects that I recently completed, there are two feature films that I completed, but I don't know when they will be released, honestly. One of them is called Batshit Bride. That is,
I love the title. Love it.
That's a tentative title. I'm not sure if that will be the title that we end up with at the end, or that the producers, I should say, end up with at the end, but that is the title for now. And in that movie, I play a waiter. It's a small supporting role, but I play a waiter, and it's like a romantic comedy. And then there's another film called 39 and a Half, where I play a cab driver. But again, I don't know when these will be released. So when I do, it will certainly be announced on my website.
You can follow your social media and find out. That's the beautiful thing about social media.
Exactly. Please, and please do. Please do.
Well, Colby, thanks so much for being on the show today. Like I said, I really enjoyed this getting to know you. We have to have you and maybe Anne and a couple of the cast members will come back. We'll talk to all of you when season two comes about. That would be fun.
I would love that. They would love that. That would be fantastic.
Super duper. Well, stay on the line for me, buddy. I'm going to finish up things here. Guys, appreciate you tuning in today to the Left of Straight show. Be sure to follow myself on Instagram and Twitter at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. On Facebook, it's the Left of Straight Show page, and Scott Fullerton is my personal. And be sure to check out the website, www.leftofstraight.com. Next week, on Monday, we're going to be talking another web series, Bothered, where you have the star Seth Daniels on, and my buddy Jay Knight Music will be on with his latest music offering. And on Tuesday, we have one of my favorite actors, Ryan Karnes, from Eating Out, Desperate Housewives, and so much more, and Scotty Dynamo, the YouTube star from Toronto, Canada. So thanks for listening to the Left of Straight show. We're going to play out a little song, and we will see you next Monday right at 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern time here on Blog Talk Radio.